So I'm now joined in the studio as part of our election 2019 coverage. I'm joined in the studio by Eric Nolan. Eric is the local Cork East Labour Party candidate, and I'm also joined on the telephone by Liam Quaid. And Liam, of course, is the Green Party candidate for Cork East. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Thanks for taking the call, Liam. I know you're under pressure this week because of half-term chain minding and everything. So thanks for taking the call at this notice. And Eric, thanks for dropping in. I suppose what I do first is I give you guys a chance to introduce yourselves to our listeners and see, you know, let you give 2 or 3 minutes. So we'll take you first, Liam, I suppose, on the telephone. You can tell us who you are, what you're about, your party connections and what you hope to achieve, yeah?
Yep. Thanks very much, Jerry. So I'm Liam Quaid. I'm running for the Green Party in the Middleton local electoral area. So that includes you all. I've been kind of interested in politics for years, but it's really only since the birth of my daughter in 2016 that I've really kind of, you know, had a growing concern about the kind of society and world that she will grow up in. So I increasingly kind of felt duty-bound to become more engaged with politics. So it was around that time that both myself and my wife became very aware of climate change. We became involved in Cork Climate Action, which is an advocacy group. They've been involved in organising political forums and demonstrations. We had one recently in December in Middleton, and that was attended by kind of cross-party TDs. Later on, we joined the Green Party 2017. I never had a political affiliation prior to this. And like many people, I would have actually tended to kind of pigeonhole the Greens over the years as kind of being solely concerned with the environment. I was somebody who always appreciated nature, but I never would have considered myself as an environmentalist. I was kind of more engaged with what I would have seen as human rights or social justice issues. I actually came to realise over the last 2 years that climate change is actually the human rights and social justice issue of our time and potentially of all time, and it's going to primarily affect our young. I've also come to realise that we can't have a flourishing or even a functioning society if we do not look after our environment. So I think the focus that the Greens have on the environment is really pivotal. In October last year, the UN published a landmark report predicting what they called catastrophic and irreversible climate change if serious action is not taken by the governments of the world to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions over the next 12 years. And it's just last week there was an EU Council meeting on climate change, and the first line of their report was a very stark warning that climate change is an existential threat. So it's a threat to our very survival. And they said that no country will be spared. So it's no longer a remote concern. You know, we've seen ourselves locally over the last year, the fodder crisis, the drought, storms, Ophelia and Emma. My daughter is 2 now, and if we continue on our current direction, we're going to be in very serious trouble by the time she's in her 20s and 30s. What we're, you know, looking at is much more intense, frequent weather extremes, floods, heat waves, violent storms, massive damage to infrastructure and property, and major global unrest as a result. So this is an issue not just for the global or national stage. Climate action has to be guiding policies at a local level, our transport policy projects, our housing development plans, our flood defences. And I'm conscious that that all paints a very doom and gloom picture, but the flip side of this is that if we take the necessary action now, we can really transform our quality of life for the better, and we can bolster our economy in the long term, because climate action involves major development of public transport, cycling infrastructure. It involves undertaking a massive retrofitting program for our existing housing stock, upgrading standards of new builds. And this all leads to reduced traffic congestion, reduced air pollution, warmer houses.
Okay, Liam, can I be so rude as to interrupt you? You've had 3 minutes now, so we'll get into the information and details of the Green Party in a few minutes. Is that okay?
Yep.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give Eric Nolan in studio around about 3 minutes to introduce yourself. So take it away, Eric.
Thanks, Jerry. Nolan here with the Labour Party in East Cork. I suppose I want to get involved because I think I can make a difference. I have a lot of experience now at this stage, and again, having young children growing up in the area, I'd like to see East Cork thrive, and I'd like to see it reach its potential, really. I work in Cork Airport's Police and Fire Service, and I have over 10 years' experience as a SIP2 shop short, which is a very involved role. I have over 5 years' experience on the state board, representing over 3,000 members of staff, and a member of the Cork Airport Development Council as well for the last number of years. I write regular articles for the journal.ie, Cork Evening Echo, and East Cork Journal, which can be found on my Facebook page, Eric Nolan Labour, if anybody wants to catch up and see there, you know. And really, that experience, I think, allows me, or will allow me, to get things done locally. And there's a number of plans I lay out during the campaign. Again, the role of a councillor is extremely varied. But some of the big issues for me, tourism. I have a lot of background in tourism, and Yall in particular has massive potential, as we all know, to make sure that Yall and the entire of East Cork reaps the maximum benefits for the Greenway and from Ironman, and that we enable business, and that we ensure that we compete effectively, because building a Greenway won't be enough. We'll need to make sure that we put the right controls in place and the right backup for business, that it works, and that we put ideas in place and we've people in place that are going to facilitate it. Because entrepreneurs will come up with ideas. I've already been contacted by a number of people who have ideas in relation to the Greenway and businesses they want to run. What government needs to do and what local government needs to do is make sure it's easy for them to do that. So if a business or a company has all the correct certification, really there shouldn't be any more barriers to getting out there and doing business. And if their product is good, they'll do well. And if it's not, they won't. And that's the nature of the beast. Another big one is dog fouling. I've been writing on it for years. I lay out specific plans that I look to implement if I get elected. Dog fouling is a scourge, and it's something that is unnecessary. The vast majority of dog owners clean up after their dogs. Those that don't, we really need to start taking action, because, you know, they talk about raising awareness. I don't think anyone ever thought it was okay to leave dog foul on the road, you know, or on the footpath. I'm not sure how awareness raising will make any difference whatsoever. And really just looking to work with people then, work with other councillors. At the moment, the people looking for the seven council seats, so all the candidates are competing strongly with each other, and that is as it should be. But after the election, they need to be able to work together. And I've learned that through all the bodies, that you will have your arguments. Only people with strong views really get involved. But if you want to get anything done, you need to be able to work with people. And I'll bring a very positive, proactive approach to local government.
Okay, thanks, Eric. You came in there 15 seconds short.
I'm very efficient, Jerry.
And thank you very much. Okay, Eric, you mentioned there a couple of points. You're a SIP2 shop short for the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, I was until recently. I'm a worker director now, so I'm on the board.
You're working Cork Airport.
That's correct, yeah.
You mentioned tourism as being a big factor in your campaign and, I suppose, your aspirations. Working in Cork Airport, where do you see are the downfalls in tourism?
On a Cork basis, joined up thinking really is the issue. Like, when we have a route through the port or the airport, we need to see marketing going into those areas to simulate that route, number one. Number two, even regionally, we need to ensure that Midleton and Yall and East Cork are an attraction. But we also need to be aware of the fact that people don't come to Ireland just to visit Yall or Midleton or even just Cork. So it's about being part of that trip that people take. So you're talking now, Yall is on Ireland's ancient east, very important to tap into funding, but to become part of a route and somewhere where people will want to stop, you know, that's the key. Big thinking, joined up thinking.
Will Cork ever become independent from the Dublin Airport Authority?
Again, look, the airport has very good people that speak about that. I'm kind of, as a member of staff and as a director, I wouldn't be able to speak publicly on it, but I'd point to growth. Like, anybody wants to compare the growth of Cork Airport to that of Shannon. Shannon was separated. Cork is doing far better. You know, I think that's my answer there, if you can read between the lines.
Okay, and we thank you for your honesty there, and we understand that as well. Liam, where are you on tourism in East Cork, in Cork in general, and indeed Ireland?
I think that there's great potential in East Cork. I think, for instance, there's great potential for the development of tourist sites along Cork Harbour that could be linked up by a harbour ferry. I have a friend who's a historian based in Midleton, Damien Shields, and I've spoken to him about the possibility of historical walking tours in East Cork around the anniversaries of the War of Independence. And I also know Tony Harper, who does such tours. I think there's a real kind of opportunity to develop that further. And also historically, you know, there's moves to do up the Round Tower in Cloyne. I think that's something that should definitely be done. And also, you know, the extension of the Eco Boardwalk in Yall was very welcome. I think that could be extended further down to Knockadoon, and, you know, really kind of open up that region. I think for tourism, though, we also need to think about transport, and that's been a kind of an issue of contention over the last while. You know, we've talked about the Greenway kind of endlessly, and we've made it very clear that we've always promoted a Greenway, but we think, you know, it's tragically short-sighted to have sacrificed the railway link in order to get that particular Greenway. We feel, you know, that an arrangement should have been pursued whereby the railway could have been opened up in the near future.
Okay, so just on the point of the Greenway, I'm going to bring both of you in here now. On the subject of the Greenway, you obviously advocated for the railway line to be reopened, Liam, yeah?
Yes.
And you fought very vociferously for that. Eric, you have said in your opening statement there you believe the Greenway is not enough.
It's only the start. Like, I would think when you build something, you need to ensure that the supports are in place to make it a success. Like, it won't be the only Greenway in Ireland, so therefore we're competing with other areas. The Greenway is a good start, but we need to make sure it's a success. So that means enabling business, ensuring there's the proper facilities, cafes, restaurants, bike rental facilities. We can look at ideas around teaming it in some way, maybe making it an attraction. There's lots of thinking, and now is the time to do it, because once it's built, it's you're chasing your tail then afterwards. Now is the time to be thinking about all that kind of stuff, you know?
Okay, in terms of the Greenway, Liam, like, I suppose it's pretty much done deal now that it's gone to Part 8 and everything, and it looks like the railway won't be coming back in our lifetime. In from that context, how do you propose fully utilising the Greenway, just like Eric has stated, Liam?
Yeah, well, I think it has to be, you know, when you're looking at any piece of infrastructure or any housing development, you have to think about how that connects in with everything around it. So, you know, how does it connect up, as Eric said, with other amenities and services? I think we also need to look at how such greenways and cycle tracks can be not just revenue generators for regions, but how they can actually help deal with, you know, congestion through, like in Mayo, the Greenway allows children to cycle to school. That has knock-on benefits for you know, health and air pollution reduction. So I think it needs to be, with any kind of planning, and I think this is the strength of the Green Party, it's about looking at how any particular plan fits into a broader picture. And I think that kind of, you know, long-term interconnected view of things is going to be really essential going forward, because we're going to have a major population increase in Cork over the next 3 decades. There's a prediction of 300,000. So I'm going to be very interested, if I'm elected as a councillor, to be part of the Cork County Development Plan and really making sure that we are we're planning our development in a way that is sustainable and that avoids the kind of mistakes that have been made elsewhere, you know, particularly in Dublin, where they over-relied on roads for years and built the M50, a massive feat of infrastructure, and now it's referred to as the biggest car park in Ireland. So we really need to have kind of people with vision in the council. I didn't mention just at the start, I focused a lot on climate change. I just wanted to say as well that, you know, I would be just as much focused on day-to-day concerns of constituents. And in fact, Dan Boyle had an inspiring kind of, you know, piece of advice about this. He serves in different public roles, and he talked to me about how being a councillor was actually the most satisfying, because he said as a TD, you know, you may be tweaking a piece of legislation over many months, whereas as a councillor, you know, often the fruits of your work are very tangible. You know, the street light that you helped get fixed, or the cycle path that was laid down. So that's something, you know, that I'm very focused on, and I love meeting people, working with people towards a goal. And my own work as a psychologist every day involves that kind of work, kind of working with people through difficulties. And primarily as a psychologist, you need to be kind of skilled in the art of listening, but you also need to lead on certain issues. And I think as much as climate change may seem like a narrow concern, it's going to be all encompassing for us in the coming years.
Okay, can I interrupt you there again, Liam? On the subject of climate change, and I had it a bullet point here from your opening statement, you said you referred to climate change as a breach. It's essentially a human rights issue. Is that something like what you said?
Absolutely.
Where do you, or the Green Party, or Dan Boyle, or anyone else, or even people that you meet on the street, how can you justifiably say that it's a breach of human rights issues when there are people sleeping on the streets, people sleeping in hostels and sheltered accommodation? Is it a priority for the Green Party to fight this as a human rights issue?
Absolutely, and all the issues that you mentioned there are also human rights issues. I think the ones that you mentioned just now are more immediate in our country, whereas climate change is going to be a human rights issue primarily for our children, because the kind of weather extremes that are disrupting, really causing major chaos in other countries, like, you know, in Australia in the last few weeks we had record-breaking heat waves followed by floods in Queensland that killed 500,000 cattle. You know, thousands of people kind of driven out of their homes. So that's the kind of scenario that's facing our children and within our lifetime as well. And it's going to, you know, the people who are least kind of financially stable are the people who are going to be most affected by that. On the subject of homelessness, you know, we are very committed to increasing social and affordable housing. We've introduced a policy called cost rental, which would involve building housing on a large scale on public land and taking out the profit margin. So the rent would be based purely on the construction costs. And this is something that's worked very effectively in Holland and Denmark, for instance. Something about the Green Party, actually, you know, I mentioned that they've been very kind of pigeonholed sometimes as being concerned only with the environment. I've been really impressed since I've become a more established member with a range of kind of progressive policies that they've had across the board. You know, and I think that doesn't often get kind of airplay because they tend to be brought on national radio when there's, you know, something to do with something to do with cycle paths, maybe, or something to do with waste reduction or that kind of thing, recycling.
Well, let me give you a chance to address that right now, and indeed I'll come to Eric straight after. How do you envisage or how do you plan on fixing the homelessness crisis in the Green Party?
Well, I was just mentioning there, I think we need major investments in social housing, and we need to put housing back more into state control. You know, there's a massive over reliance on private development. Locally, I think we need to expand the rent pressure zones. You know, if you're looking on Daft in places like Middleton or Youghal, there's really a handful of property available at any given time, and very overpriced. So there really needs to be you know, a proper kind of reckoning with that problem. And it's, I think in the last year and a half or so, or whenever Owen Murphy took that role, it's really just kind of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, and there hasn't been any appreciable increase in kind of or any appreciable kind of reduction in homelessness.
Okay, and I thank you for that input. Eric, first of all, in relation to the human rights issue, you know, what Liam referred to there is the climate change, and do you agree with the Labour Party policies on that, and if so, to what extent and how far?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't have to be said anymore, but it seems to have to be said now with certain politicians we have in Kerry and places like that. Climate change is real, Gerry. I believe in climate change. I think it's there's a scientific consensus, and it's a fact. By 2050, there'll be more plastic in our ocean than fish is the estimate. Now, it's very hard to comprehend the size of the ocean, but that's an incredible thing when you think about it. It's incredible. We do need real action on climate change. It needs to be done properly. I know a lot of people working in areas which will be affected. And when I've been involved with some of the trade union people, a just transition is very important. It's not so much affected here, but we look at Bord na Mona, there's entire towns where an awful lot of the employment will go. And we need to make sure that those people are looked after properly. But we have to move forward. We have to have a better country and a better world, really.
You know? And of course, you mentioned there that you know several people, you know, who are involved in the climate change action and I suppose resolutions. When you're walking in Cork Airport and you see all these big planes, like they are seriously affecting our environment, are they not?
I suppose they are, but we do what we can do. You know, I've written in the Evening Echo and the Journal on this topic quite a few times in relation to, you know, the percentage of recycling is far too low. And we think when we put a plastic bottle in the bin that it's going to be recycled, 70% of those are recycled only. And that's a crime, really, when you think about it. Soft plastics, there's a ban in Britain. They're talking about banning soft plastics and banning single-use plastics. Those kind of things are the steps that we can take. And really, the climate change issue is so big that you nearly wouldn't get out of bed in the morning if you comprehended it fully and you would do nothing. And I think part of the problem in the world is that the problem is so big that nobody really, what difference is it going to make what I do or what anybody does or what any single country does? And you hear that argument regularly, you know, Ireland's only a small country, you know, if we do this and hurt ourselves, what difference will it make?
Where is the Brendan Howlin and the Labour Party on addressing what we asked Liam there about addressing the homelessness crisis? How would you go about it?
Yeah, very similar. I think the Green Party and the Labour Party and the Social Democrats and some progressive independents would have a similar approach and work together often in the Dáil, you know. Labour Party it would be about local authorities building houses and, again, removing profit and making those things far more cost effective. But again, my own concern on that is would be we absolutely need housing and it does need to be built, but we need to build schools with it. We need to build roads with it. In this country, we tend to catch up with infrastructure long after it's needed. So it requires people to get very angry and go after their politicians for a number of years and then something kind of gets fixed, by which point it's almost too late. Like you look at the Lakeview Roundabout in Midland, for example, and anybody travelling from Yall into Cork regularly would be aware of that junction. It's a big delay. The funding for the slip road isn't going to happen at the moment and they're going to have to find alternative streams. Now, there's housing planned along that route. There is a lot of new housing already. That should be done beforehand. That should be part of the development.
Well,
costs,
I was at a recent municipal council meeting, and I'm going to bring the two of you in on this. There's a proposed development for Ballinacurra, over 200 houses. No infrastructure. We got the bombshell yesterday that the Lakeview Roundabout is now not going to be funded.
Correct.
Be it, and, you know, we will say at this stage it's as a result of the National Children's Hospital. I would suppose that. And do you think, Liam, that infrastructure needs to be put in place before housing developments are given permission, or what is the scenario there?
It absolutely has to be guaranteed, you know, to happen in tandem or before, because otherwise you just you're left with these impossible situations. You know, even as it stands, the Lakeview roundabout, you know, there's often mornings a nightmarish amount of traffic there, and you know, that all has other knock-on impacts on, for instance, air pollution. It's not well known that 1,500 deaths per year, according to the EPA, are attributable to poor air quality, and traffic pollution is one of the main culprits in that. So, you know, children sitting in the back of cars are very exposed to respiratory conditions because of air pollution. There's also more accidents on our roads because people are extremely stressed and frustrated and they're trying to get to a creche or get to work. So, you know, we definitely need more housing, but we really need to be very smart about how we plan that out. So, you know, I think I'd be very much on the same page as Eric on that.
Okay, and thanks for that, Liam. Eric, we come to you there with something you said. You said in your opening statement something to the words that you believe that the candidates, the seven council candidates, are progressing well now, but you believe that they should work together more after election. Elaborate on that, please.
No, I was kind of making the point. While the way the system is, we have to compete. So there will probably be 11 or 12 candidates for the seven seats that we will compete, and we need to compete strongly and put forward our messages. But after the election, we need to work together. Now, the current councillors do seem to have worked together, so I wouldn't throw criticism anywhere. And my approach is always very positive, you know. But what I'm saying is that we will have arguments from time to time. We will have disagreements. But the key is win, lose or draw, you move on to the next one, and you're able to work with people then, you know. And that's the point when an issue is up for decision and it hasn't been made yet, that's when you do your work and that's when you do your advocacy. Like the Greenway, I wrote in the Examiner and the Echo and it was on radio and everything else, and I pushed extremely hard. But when the decision was made, you move on and you make the best then of that decision. And that's the way to get things done, because there's always more fish to fry the next time, you know.
So the glass half full rather than half empty.
Well, you are where you are, I suppose, and you do your very best. But if you want to make a difference to people, when a decision is made and an argument is over, it's over. And then you have to, if you want to do something, you must deal with things in your power. The same as climate change. There's no point in thinking of the big picture that you can't affect, but you can affect recycling in your area. You can affect other things like that, you know. Those are the things you work on.
Okay, Liam, briefly, if or when you were elected, and we all wish you all well here, if you were elected to the Cork County Council, could you sit around the table with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and indeed Labour Party, and when they're proposing these massive new housing developments or whatever, can you sit constructively around the table with these parties and work?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I'm very used to robust exchange, and I'm very very well able to separate the personal from the professional. And I think, you know, when it comes to fighting for what you believe in, you do have to be robust. You have to be respectful in that. But I work all the time with people that I don't kind of agree with on everything. So I would very much kind of look forward to, and I think we can all learn from each other as well, because I think one very important quality of being a public representative is that you know the limits of your expertise, and you know you can admit where you went wrong, and take on the opinions of other people. So absolutely.
Okay, and thank you for that honest answer. Local government help, you, Eric, you referred to something along those lines in your opening statement about help from government and local government. Where are you guys on the proposed, well, it's not a proposal anymore, the boundary changes? As a Cove man, that must affect you. Does it worry you?
No, I'm not from, I'm Middleton.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It doesn't affect me at all, actually. There's an extra seat down our way, so myself and Liam will have an extra chance, you know. So,
okay. Do you welcome us on the Labour Party?
Yes, I think the boundary change was required. As with any change, there will need to be strong work to ensure that every area is served properly. And, you know, again, back to the point, the 7 councillors elected in East Cork will need to fight very hard, because when there's any new system in place, anything that happens in the first term tends to happen forevermore, you know, and it's much harder to overturn. So we need to make sure we're working together strongly to make sure we maximise input and money and everything else for East Cork, you know.
And Liam, where are you on the boundary changes?
Yeah, I would be pretty much on the same line as Eric there. I wouldn't have anything extra to add to that. You know, I think kind of working together is key. And, you know, there's a certain bit of, you know, rough and tumble when you're competing, but we all do need to kind of come together, you know, when we are, you know, when people are elected. So, yeah.
Okay. Just on that subject of the boundary changes, Eric, you made a statement there just a couple of moments ago. You said that there's an extra seat for Liam and yourself to fight for.
Potentially, yeah.
Hypothetically, did Brendan Howlin or anyone in the Labour National Party sit down and say, you know, let's put through a second candidate for the Labour Party?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think...
Would you have objected?
No, not necessarily. Like, local elections are kind of different. Like, you could have 5 Fianna Fáil candidates who are very well known in their area and they could all get elected to 7 seats.
Okay.
Like, really, a vote for... you're voting for an individual, really. I think in local elections, obviously, we have party affiliations, and I have a party affiliation. But me getting elected to council isn't going to change anything in national government. But what it is going to do is bring the experience I have and the years of experience representing thousands of people to the local area.
How many nationally is the Labour Party putting into the local elections, do you know?
Everybody isn't selected yet, but off the top of my head, up towards 70, and we've over 40% female selected is the number at the moment. So
gender equality is...
Absolutely, yeah.
Liam, has it crossed the minds of the Green Party to put forward a second candidate for the locals?
No, I think we recognise, you know, that we're rebuilding as a party, we've kind of regenerated as a group, as an East Cork group, just in the last year and a half or so. I was at a convention last week, an election convention in Galway for the Green Party. I was really struck, you know, how over the years the Green Party would have been traditionally very urban, kind of Dublin based, we have a range of really impressive rural candidates now. Candidates, you know, in places like Clare, Leash Offaly, Galway, Tipperary. And we're very much kind of connected in, I think, with rural life much more than we were. For myself, you know, we're running 80 candidates as well, so we're very ambitious. And as someone myself who has lived both in a rural community and worked rurally and in cities and towns, I feel I can connect with people, you know, across the board. I've become much more conscious, I think, since becoming a parent, of my parents' kind of generation's concerns, and I've become very kind of tuned into issues like rural crime. So if I was elected to the council, I would be very interested in joining the Joint Policing Committee, because I think there's been a real kind of sense of being left behind in many rural communities, you know, in terms of the closure of post offices and young people moving out, dereliction of buildings. So I think we really need to focus on people who are in rural communities.
Okay.
And also, we're very tuned in to the needs of small farmers. You know, I think we're the only party who's very much promoting the idea of increasing the livelihoods of small farmers who are really struggling to make a living, and reforming the CAP system so that, you know, they can be better supported to engage with biodiversity and agroforestry and more sustainable forms of agriculture. And they're really struggling at the moment, and their farms are kind of, you know, getting bought up by massive kind of mega farms, and that, I think that's something we really need to address.
Approach is always very positive, you know, but what I'm saying is that we will have arguments from time to time, we will have disagreements, but the key is win, lose or draw, you move on to the next one and you're able to work with people then, you know, and that's the point. When an issue is up for decision and it hasn't been made yet, that's when you do your work, and that's when you do your advocacy. Like the Greenway, I wrote in the Examiner and the Echo, and it was on radio and everything else, and I pushed extremely hard. But when the decision was made, you move on and you make the best then of that decision. And that's the way to get things done, because there's always more fish to fry the next time, you know.
So the glass half full rather than half empty.
Well, you are where you are, I suppose, and you do your very best. But if you want to make a difference to people, when a decision is made and an argument is over, it's over. And then you have to, if you want to do something, you must deal with things in your power. The same as climate change. There's no point in thinking of the big picture that you can't affect, but you can affect recycling in your area. You can affect other things like that, you know. Those are the things you work on.
Okay, Liam, briefly, if or when you were elected, and we all wish you all well here, if you were elected to the Cork County Council, could you sit around the table with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and indeed Labour Party, and when they're proposing these massive new housing developments or whatever, can you sit constructively around the table with these parties and work?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I'm very used to you know, robust exchange, and I'm very very well able to separate the personal from the professional. And I think, you know, when it comes to fighting for what you believe in, you do have to be robust. You have to be respectful in that. But I work all the time with people that I don't kind of agree with on everything. So I would very much kind of look forward to, and I think we can all learn from each other as well, because I think one very important quality of being a public representative is that you know the limits of your expertise, and you know you can admit where you went wrong, and take on the opinions of other people. So absolutely.
Okay, and thank you for that honest answer. Local government help, you, Eric, you referred to something along those lines in your opening statement about help from government and local government. Where are you guys on the proposed, well, it's not a proposal anymore, the boundary changes? As a Cove man, that must affect you. Does it worry you?
No, I'm not from, I'm Middleton.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm. It doesn't affect me at all, actually. There's an extra seat down our way, so myself and Liam will have an extra chance, you know. So,
okay. Do you welcome us on the Labour Party?
Yes, I think the boundary change was required. As with any change, there will need to be strong work to ensure that every area is served properly. And, you know, again, back to the point, the seven councillors elected in East Cork will need to fight very hard, because when there's any new system in place, anything that happens in the first term tends to happen forevermore, you know, and it's much harder to overturn. So we need to make sure we're working together strongly to make sure we maximise input and money and everything else for East Cork, you know.
And Liam, where are you on the boundary changes?
Yeah, I would be pretty much on the same line as Eric there. I wouldn't have anything extra to add to that. You know, I think kind of working together is key. And you know, there's a certain bit of, you know, rough and tumble when you're competing, but we all do need to kind of come together. You know, when we are, you know, when people are elected. So yeah.
Okay. Just on that subject of the boundary changes, Eric, you made a statement there just a couple of moments ago. You said that there's an extra seat for Liam and yourself to fight for.
Well, we hope, potentially.
Hypothetically, did Brendan Howlin or anyone in the Labour National Party sit down and say, you know, let's put through a second candidate for the Labour Party?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think...
Would you have objected?
No, not necessarily. Like, local elections are kind of different. Like, you could have five Fianna Fáil candidates who are very well known in their area and they could all get elected to seven seats.
Okay.
Like, really, a vote for... you're voting for an individual, really. I think in local elections, obviously, we have party affiliations and I have a party affiliation. But me getting elected to council isn't going to change anything in national government. But what it is going to do is bring the experience I have and the years of experience representing thousands of people to the local area.
How many nationally is the Labour Party putting into the local elections, do you know?
Everybody isn't selected yet, but off the top of my head, up towards 70, and we've over 40% female selected is the number at the moment. So
gender equality is...
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Liam, has it crossed the minds of the Green Party to put forward a second candidate for the locals?
No, I think we recognise, you know, that we're rebuilding as a party, we've kind of regenerated as a group, as an East Cork group, just in the last year and a half or so. I was at a convention last week, an election convention in Galway for the Green Party. I was really struck, you know, how over the years the Green Party would have been traditionally very urban, kind of Dublin based. We have a range of really impressive rural candidates now. Candidates, you know, in places like Clare, Leash Offaly, Galway, Tipperary. And we're very much kind of connected in, I think, with rural life much more than we were. For myself, you know, we're running 80 candidates as well, so we're very ambitious. And as someone myself who has lived both in a rural community and worked rurally and in cities and towns, I feel I can connect with people, you know, across the board. I've become much more conscious, I think, since becoming a parent, of my parents' kind of generation's concerns, and I've become very kind of tuned into issues like rural crime. So if I was elected to the council, I would be very interested in joining the Joint Policing Committee, because I think there's been a real kind of sense of being left behind in many rural communities, you know, in terms of the closure of post offices and young people moving out, dereliction of buildings. So I think we really need to focus on people who are in rural communities.
Okay.
And also we're very much... We're very tuned in to the needs of small farmers. You know, I think we're the only party who's very much promoting the idea of increasing the livelihoods of small farmers who are really struggling to make a living, and reforming the CAP system so that, you know, they can be better supported to engage with biodiversity and agroforestry and more sustainable forms of agriculture. And they're really struggling at the moment, and their farms are kind of, you know, getting bought up by massive kind of mega farms. And that, I think that's something we really need to address.
Okay, Liam, thanks for that. You mentioned there earning livings and surviving. We need to survive here on the radio station as well. At this juncture, I need to take an ad break. I need you guys to stay with me and we'll finish up in the next couple of minutes. Just hold the line, Liam. Is that okay?
Yep.
Just hold the line.
In Focus on CORY 104 FM. Brought to you by Cal Flavins, your local expert dealer and top line hardware store.
So welcome back to the second part of, or the next part of In Focus. I'm still joined in the studio by Eric Nolan, Labour Party candidate for Cork East. And of course, Liam Quaid from the Green Party joins us as well. Lads, thanks for your time. And I just had to take a break that time. Liam, You referred to, in your opening statement earlier, you said that this was no longer a global or national picture. Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that, please.
Well, I suppose locally, you know, agriculture has come under huge strain in the last year. You're referring to climate change, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yep. So locally, you know, agriculture has been really, really hit with the fodder crisis, followed a few months later by the drought. And I think there's many areas in East Cork that are very vulnerable to flooding. And that is something that is predicted to increase, you know, over the coming years. And we really need to plan ahead for that. And I think we also need to take stock of new evidence that comes to light. So, you know, there's new reports coming out all the time. The UN report that I mentioned that came out in October was very alarming, but it's the most authoritative report so far. And it was made up, you know, of scores of scientists kind of summarising their findings. And they predicted higher sea level rises than were predicted previously.
Okay.
We really need to get experts to kind of review any flood defence systems.
Okay, Eric, where are you in the Labour Party on flood defence systems and global or national pictures?
Absolutely required. I think some of the politicians locally, Sean Sherlock in Mallow, would have been very involved in the flood defences there, which is kind of a novel system they have where they can put it in and out. It's an awful pity that they're required, but they are required. We need to get ahead of time. Cork City in particular as well, Middleton, we need to make sure that the defences are built, that the money is spent. And it's an unavoidable thing going forward. There is going to be more of this kind of spending required, and that's just a fact of life.
Eric, in your one of your lines in your opening statement there, you referred to the future of East Cork, yeah?
Yeah.
Elaborate on that, please.
I think tourism is an area in particular where we can grow very, very strongly, and I'd like to see the likes of Ironman and the Greenway really harnessed properly where we bring in a massive amount of tourism, where we bring in work to service that, and that creates a runaway effect. The more tourists you have, the more jobs you have. The more jobs you have, the more residents you have. So you get building that way. The more income comes to the county council. You then reach critical mass where you can build the next attraction and the next attraction and the next attraction. And all of a sudden, you have a very well-funded area with proper roads and everything else, you know. And that's how, like, the key is to get the money into the council and build things in a way that are sustainable for everybody, make life better for everybody. And, you know, East Cork can thrive, really.
With respect, Liam, how can the Labour Party hope to do that when, you know, was it one of the Healy Rays famously said one time, the people have to realise that Ireland doesn't stop at the Red Cow roundabout?
I had a piece in the Evening Echo lately that called for the Dáil to be moved to Cork, so I don't think my bona fides on decentralisation are in question on that one, Gerry. Eric here. I think there's a big issue there. Like, you look at national growth, Dublin is really growing. There's going to be Dublin commuter towns in 11 counties in the next number of years. It's massive altogether, and there needs to be some counterbalance. The Ireland 2040 plan talks about building facilities and facilitating growth regionally. But like the Field of Dreams film years ago, building it doesn't necessarily mean they will come. You know, it's all well and good building all these things, but we have to have centres of authority in those areas, you know. And one of those ideas that I had lately was that, you know, Fianna Fáil decentralised a number of years ago, lower departments, but when you take out lower level departments, you're not taking any power out of Dublin at all. So maybe look at moving the Dáil out for a few years and see if that does anything, you know.
Liam, would you be acceptable to that?
I think that would be a very radical undertaking.
I'm
not sure how it could be achieved.
Jerry,
could I mention just one point?
Absolutely.
That I think is crucial on climate change. We might at some stage get into the hospital overruns and Simon Harris, and there was huge public outcry, rightly, about that. But something that your listeners might not know is that because our government has failed to take any meaningful action on climate change, we're actually facing annual fines in excess of the hospital overrun starting from 2020, annual EU fines. So 600 million per year is predicted to be the cost. Now, if you have 5 years of those fines, you're looking at 3 billion. You can imagine the kind of regional developments you could achieve with that money. And also, the longer that we delay transition to a low carbon economy, the more cost accumulates.
But to be fair, Liam, I remember you giving these figures when we were debating the Greenway versus the railway, where you were giving those figures again. Are you continuing these figures now for the National Children's Hospital overrun or what?
No, what I'm saying is the National Children's Hospital overrun is predicted at the moment to be 450 million.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, and that's a huge amount of money and it's a scandal and a failure of governance. And also the climate fines that we're going to pay because our government has been sleepwalking into this is actually more than that per year. So it's 600 million per year. So, you know, the government sells themselves as being very financially prudent, and I think we're seeing otherwise more recently. You know, and I think, you know, there was the no confidence motion in Simon Harris this week, and the Green Party did support that because there's no justifying concealing that information from the Dáil when Simon Harris was asked through direct questioning whether there was going to be an overrun, and at that point he knew that it was going to be likely several hundred million.
Okay, Eric, where are you on the hospital overrun?
The Labour Party has no confidence in the minister. I think the whole thing has been handled very badly. At the same time, we absolutely require a children's hospital. So it's a very, very difficult situation. There needs to be, really, the whole thing needs to be looked at in depth very, very quickly and dealt with. And from that perspective, you know, like, how can cost overrun of that nature is just incredible. Like, part of it is down to the system we have for awarding contracts, and it's to do with competition law and everything else. The lowest bidder wins generally, and that's how it works. So there's an incentive.
Should it be scrapped?
Well, sir, you see, the problem is decision making. The reason that policy is in place is nobody wants to be accountable at all. So,
if
the hospital
itself. Yes or no? Should it be scrapped?
The hospital.
Yeah.
Well, I'd want to see more information.
Should it be relocated to a different site? What's the Labour Party?
I'd want to see the Labour Party official position is we want to see the cost and we want to see.
No, that's not a yes or no.
I don't have a yes or no for you. And politics and life isn't that simple. Always, we absolutely need a hospital, but it's been handled very badly. If Labour was in government, things would be different. Would be our view on it.
Did the Labour Party abstain, or did they vote against the minister the last day?
They voted against the minister. They voted no confidence in the minister.
Absolutely no confidence.
Absolutely no confidence.
Liam, should it be scrapped? Should it be relocated? Yes or no?
I think if there is... No. if relocation involves a major saving, I think it should be considered. We don't know yet. Can I just say, on the point of the contracts, Eamon Ryan asked some very searching questions in the Dáil of Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris, because there's a suspicion that the contracts were designed in such a way that the professional services came as a percentage of the project cost rather than being a fixed cost. Now, if that's the case, if architects and so on were paid a percentage, then the increasing scale of the cost meant that these professional services were also receiving an increasing, a massively increased fees.
So where is the Green Party on this, Liam? Should it be relocated? Should the original plan be scrapped?
Well, I think
yes or no?
I think we'd need to know what the cost of relocating is.
We've already established some of the costs already with the abandonment of the Lakeview roundabout roadworks. Yeah, the slip road is already suffering, and that's as local as you're going to get. Should it be, you know, like, look, we won't go too far into that. I'm asking you there, Liam. You referred to, in your opening statement, in October, a UN report on climate change was published, yeah?
Yep.
Speaking of UN and all things European, where are you and the Green Party on Brexit?
I think it's one area that we would feel that the government is actually handling quite well. It's a huge source of concern for everybody, and it's kind of rumbling along, you know, almost endlessly now. It feels like we're kind of heading for a crisis, and you know, there's so much kind of chaos going on in British politics around it. It's a very concerning state of affairs. There's an awful lot of people that are very, you know, very anxious about it. I know beef farmers are very concerned because much of their export market is to the UK. An awful lot of businesses, you know, have some part of their supply chain or some part of their dealings connected with Britain. So I think it's an issue that broadly in government there is unity of opinion, and I think generally speaking it has been handled well. And you know, credit where credit is due. I'm very critical of the government on so many issues, but I don't have any gripe with their handling of this.
Eric, I see you nodding away there with Liam's comments.
Yeah, a lot to agree with there. The government have handled it well, in fairness. I suppose there hasn't been too many decision points in, like, holding the line was the only move, really, but they have done that very well and they've done it strongly. So from that perspective, yes. The effects are going to be, could possibly be disastrous, farming in particular. Another one that we don't always think of is the currency. The currency changes could mean a really big reduction in inbound tourism and from the UK. Like, a lot of flights, high percentage of flights, particularly of our regional airports, go to and from the UK. So that scenario could be very problematic. I just think it's populism at work. We had Trump in America, we have Brexit now. There's debate seems impossible with a lot of these people who are very pro-Brexit in the UK because they're on another planet, you know. So I don't know how you connect with that. I admire the government's patience for going into a room with these people and trying to reason with...
Could they have seen it coming?
Could the government have seen Brexit coming?
Yeah, well, they knew Brexit was coming, but could they have seen this scenario coming?
Yes, and they probably did. I think most of us who would have any outside involvement at all would have seen it coming, but you can't change your approach, you know. Like, the reality has to come at some place, and this has been an effort from the start, from Theresa May and from the UK government, of trying to reconcile irreconcilable positions. So you have multiple positions that are in direct conflict with each other. We want an open border, but we don't want, to be in the customs area. Like, those two things can't happen, and yet they've been trying constantly, pushing. There has been no really other approach that could have been taken. And look, we're in Europe, and we have taken hard decisions on behalf of Europe when it goes back to bank bailouts and things like that. I'd be expecting very big support for Ireland from our European friends as soon as something like that happens. You know,
Liam, could we have done things different? Should we have done things different?
In respect of Brexit?
Yeah.
I don't think so, really. I think much of what's happening, you know, that is kind of very concerning, has been happening within the realm of British politics. I think we've done the best we can, you know, given the cards we've been dealt. You know, it remains to be seen how fractious things are going to get within Labour and the Tory party. It just seems like politics is kind of fragmenting over there. And I think Labour in the UK have been disappointing in not having a kind of a coherent position on Brexit, and I think people are still very much in the dark as to what their way forward is.
Okay. Lads, I have about 5 minutes left, and I thank you. I know I'm out of keeping you way over your time, and I apologise for that, but we've covered a fair few subjects. Eric, I'm going to come to you first this time. What are the big issues that you want to address, and if so, why should we vote for Eric Nolan in the forthcoming local elections?
My campaign will be all about experience and having learned for years to represent large numbers of people, thousands of people currently, I know how to get things done. There's a large number of issues close to my heart. Again, tourism, as we've touched on quite a lot during this programme, is one of the big ones. Dog fouling is another very big one. Sustainable development is very important. I'd like to see a lot of those things happening, and I'd like to be in a position where I can influence those things, you know, because again, I've children growing up in the area. I'd like East Cork to reach its potential. Y'all in particular, as part of East Cork, has massive, massive tourism potential, and really I can make a difference, and that's what I'm going to be saying to people. I'm strong, I write regularly, I've very clear opinions. I'm also able to work with people, I'm also willing to listen, I'm also very proactive and positive, and really that's what I want to get involved for, to make a difference now, you know, and really politics, I think, and I won't be the only candidate like this, everybody gets involved for the right reasons, it's not an easy thing to do, you know, so I have a lot of respect for anybody on the ballot paper. But I think I can make an actual difference, and that's why I'm running, you know.
Okay, thank you. And look, it goes without saying, and I know my colleague Michael O'Brien has stated it publicly, we do admire any politics or politicians that put their heads above the parapet and take the rap, because it is a tough job. Liam, in 2 minutes or so, why should we vote Liam Quaid for the Green Party in the next local elections?
I think it's essential that we have fresh perspectives in the council, that we have people who think about the long term. of East Cork and how that fits into the broader picture of Cork's development. I'm somebody who works in the health service. I know what the health service is like from the inside. I've worked with some of the most vulnerable people and marginalised people in society. I'm also very committed to business and to supporting tourism. And I see major potential in East Cork. I also see major issues that need to be addressed, such as crisis in health, crisis in affordable housing, traffic congestion. And I think I have progressive ideas on all of these things. And I would ensure that any development that takes place in East Cork is climate proofed, and that's going to be absolutely essential into the future. I'm somebody who grew up in a rural community. I spent much of my summers baling hay. I've lived in Dublin, I've lived in Galway, and I've lived in Middleton, and I'm settling down in East Cork, and I've a good range of ability to connect with many people. So I feel I can represent the concerns of all people in East Cork.
Okay.
And I will fight. I've a serious amount of energy and tenacity, and I will fight for the interests of people in East Cork. And I do feel that Youghal has been left behind, other parts of the region have advanced economically.
Okay, thanks for that, Liam. Closing thought to me, I just have a thought in my mind to put to you. You have the stronger parties, you have the Fianna Fáils and Fine Gaels, and now that you've got on so well for the last 45 minutes, would there be a possibility that you could do, with the PR system, could you come together and say, vote for number one, me, and vote for number two, the other? Would that be possible?
Unrequited love is a terrible thing, Jerry. It's a terrible thing. Labour nationally, Brendan Howland has asked that Labour voters transfer to Green Party, Progressive Independence, of which I would see Mary Lynn and Foley very much as one of those,
okay.
And Social Democrats, which there is none here. So we've asked for our voters, if they haven't decided their preference, to go in that direction. So it would be Liam and Mary Lynn and Foley is where we would be asking votes to go.
In that order.
But unrequited love is a terrible
thing. Sure, Mary Lynn and Foley would be delighted with that. Liam, where are you and the Green Party on PR systems?
We don't have a policy on it at the moment, so I would be speaking out of turn if I was to concoct one on air. But
would you be encouraging your voters to vote number two, Eric Nolan, and number three, Mary Lynn Foley, or whichever order?
Well, I do recognise, that Mary Lynn Foley has done huge work in the area, and she's somebody who actually fought for the railway for many years, and I very much respect that. And I think, we've come to see in this interview that myself and Eric have a lot of overlap in our interests. And
I feel like Cilla Black here, I should take my hat.
we might have a quiet word after the show, you never know.
No matter. Listen, lads, I thank you for taking the time. I think it was fair enough. Are you happy enough with it, Liam?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jerry.
No matter. Eric, you're happy?
Thank you, Jerry. Best of luck, Liam.